Hey everybody, this is Caleb, and this is Delta Green Dead Channels, where I'm going to have to improv this game, because my clever players figured out my twist, it was all a dream ending. I really kind of set that up a little too early, what with it being 3 years ago, and they done figured it out, so I gotta keep my skates on here, but I'll try my best to figure out a scenario for these fine players, who are going to introduce themselves. In Discord order.
Oh, like now?
Anytime.
Okay. Hi, I'm Baz. I'm playing Annette Saunders. And if my voice sounds particularly scratchy or I seem like I have low energy, lethal levels of allergens in the air right now where I'm at, so.
I'm sorry. Thank you for playing.
Fuck you.
All right. Yeah. I expected that. Anyway, my next... loving agent is...
Hey, it's Ross Payton with Role Playing Public Radio. I am here playing Cassidy Sturgeon, computer toucher, hacker, turned, definitely what? Not sorcerer.
computer what?
That's what they're called. That's what the dreamers call what Cassidy does.
Yeah.
You know, when they have visions of these people trapped in cubes, staring at glowing boxes, caressing their fingers across esoteric cubes they can't read. They are the computer touchers.
Mm-hmm.
People talk in the village about why they keep seeing them. It's a nightmare. So you're doing great.
I got a BFF now in a normal place, doing normal things in my off time. Don't worry about it.
Yeah. Next.
Hello, this is Rob from the Orpheus Protocol. I'm playing Levi Holtz, who I guess is a computer toucher slash fighter instead of a computer toucher slash wizard.
Stop saying it. Like, please. It makes me so uncomfortable.
Oh, I'm sorry. A computer toucher slash caster. I apologize.
All right. Thank you.
You can check my actual play out, Orpheus Protocol, on your podcatcher of choice. And the Orpheus Protocol, the role-playing game, is now available on Itch and on DriveThruRPG. Please buy it. I'm moving, and it's expensive, folks.
Yeah. Can you get a printed, bound version of the Orpheus Protocol? I would go buy it. You made it sound so cool.
Eventually. There will be print-on-demand, although, Greg, for you... I have a few extra out of the initial print run. I can probably work something out for you.
I pay my way. I feel I'm obliged to pay for my colleagues and friends' work. I'm not gonna be that sponge.
Yeah, send Greg's copy to Baz.
Pray hands.
I'm gonna need that for $3.99, please.
unless we're at a convention and I've been drinking. I'm Greg Stolze. I drink at conventions. It's a real problem. But hey, COVID kept me away from them for years. Now I'm clean. Which, if this had video, you'd see me toasting with a nice glass of red. Mm. I do a actual play podcast of my science fiction game, Termination Shock, through the Crankshaft Constellation Patreon. We just reached the end of the season 2 arc for it. Season 1 is on SoundCloud under my name, and the sound quality of the first few episodes is absolute garbage. I apologize for that, but it does get better. And it's a fun podcast, much like Ludo Narrative Dissidents, a podcast I do with James Wallace and Ross Payton, in which we tear games apart and analyze them, and make so many enemies in the game's field. It's super fun. Super duper.
Who are you playing?
Wait, have you actually made an enemy? If you have, I want to hear about it.
Probably not. Gareth Hanrahan was incredibly gracious about the terrible things I said about Traveler. So
yeah. No, he's that's a special case. He always is.
Yeah, it's like kicking a puppy,
but
it's an Irish puppy.
What was that time travel one that you guys just savaged that one time?
Oh, well, Continuum's a special case because it's brilliant, but also bonkers. It's Yeah, don't get me started on Continuum. Don't get Ross started on Continuum.
No, I don't want you to get started. I was just curious if you got an enemy out of it.
Not that I know of, but you know, maybe.
Are you playing for the game? For the game, Greg.
Oh, right. Mace
on the
Hoffman.
Recording.
Raconteur, man
for
the world.
For the audience, Greg.
I'm seeing it.
They appreciate the banter.
All right.
Yeah, how are we going to get like 3.5 hours of parasocial nonsense like all the podcasts that make money, Caleb? Come on.
Oh. Oh. No, I'm sad.
Ouch.
Let people have a sense of the character of the players so that they have contrast and contrast
the character of the character. That made me feel bad before Delta Green could make me feel bad the right way.
I have to cut all of this. Like, no,
you literally don't.
To cut all of it.
You literally don't. This is be real.
It's just more work. Like, yeah. You know,
that's like at the end of a Jackie Chan film. Just put it after the end. Like,
oh, the white man gets to make a podcast. Complains about the work. Real fucking rich, Caleb.
Oh my god.
So Mace Hoffman went to prison for fraud, but it was all overblown, and he was sort of gently coerced into Delta Green with the promise that all he'd be doing would be making fake documents. But there has been mission creep. And now that they can pin at least one murder on him, yeah, he's pretty much just like, yes, sir. Yes, I'll get those IDs to you, sir. The sir in this question.
Hi, I'm Shane. Because I run Delta Green, I'm one of the reasons that Caleb is so stressed out that he's flipping his lid over us bantering and enjoying each other's company like this. You can find my stuff at deltagreen.com and arcgreen.com, and used to be Twitter, but fuck that. And
yep.
What else? I'm playing Mike Martinez, who's a high-strung FBI agent and Delta Green veteran who's, like Liz Lemon in 30 Rock, is trying to have it all. And
now I want to play Atchison like Donahue. Yeah. Of course I'm in a tuxedo. It's after 5 p.m.
Caleb, can we reel it in, son? You're kind of going off topic.
You're right. Thank you. Thank you for that, Baz. Annette Saunders dies somehow. Anyway, start game.
Yeah, dude. All right, I'm out. Bye, guys.
Our Thursday free dip.
All right. Anyway, last time we found on the internet a play that Atchison has worried might infect the agents who are investigating it. They are trying to piecemeal it out so no one gets too much of a picture, though Atchison doesn't know why or how that's happening. Cassidy was warned about it, as was Mace, by various interests around what was referred to as an interstice. All right, and we will get started there.
Do I have any opportunity to what's the control? Do I have any opportunity to talk to Atchison?
Yeah, yeah. We're just going to start off right where we left off last week. So you're still in the FBI.
Yeah, I might pull her aside and I'm like, can I check something with you, ma'am?
She talks to you. They're splitting up between like the armory, where you're going to the specialized document printers to like cobble together various identities. And getting things for like that, and you get Atchison in the hallway. Hoffman, what do you need?
Just double checking that your memory of certain historical events is bifurcated, indicating that there was some kind of parallel reality or time travel bullshit happening around a political campaign in the Midwest. You remember this, right? Don't leave me hanging, boss. Come on, you remember this, right?
Hoffman, do you have something you need to report to me?
My fucking report probably is in the alternate timeline. So I will fill her in on body team. Where it's like, okay, you called me to drop everything to go to Missouri to deal with this possessed political candidate who kept he kept
all right,
dying.
Roll human.
Okay. Ellen, how secret is this conversation?
That would be up to Hoffman. Adjacent certainly didn't see it coming. Oh God, in a way.
98. It's a 98. I missed a critical failure by. So he just thinks he cannot read her because he is falling into his dark memories and is just like, yeah, he kept making new bots so they would kill his body, but they had like 50 identical corpses to destroy, and he kept doing all this weird shit. And he was a time traveler, and he pushed me ahead in time so that I could see what time was like. You don't remember this at all, do you?
Mace, I just want to start off by saying I believe you, and I'm glad you brought this to my attention. Okay, and this is concerning for me. And I want you to know that I'm going to take this with the utmost seriousness, all right? So what I'm going to need you to do is stay back on this operation. I got a couple questions I got to ask for you. We got to move forward on this right now. I'm sure you understand. But I'm going to need you to stay right here and stay back for a bit and sort of guard the home base. While the rest of the team goes take care of some things, because we got some balls.
Okay, but I gotta warn you right before this mission, the psycho time traveling tourist entity took over my wife to tell me our universe had been sold.
Okay, yeah, we're gonna that's a serious accusation. I'm gonna let everyone else roll alertness. And just tell me what you're doing as you roll alertness. It could be anything preparing for your day.
I never should have agreed to play body team with you. Damn it!
I got a 19 out of 20.
3 out of something that makes, yeah, 3 out of 50, yeah.
Y'all see Mace bugging.
Probably I was just reading up on the VIX, like just scrolling on my phone and reading up there.
Apparently Levi's doing like yoga and blasting green powder drinks because he is not successful.
I would say I am.
How about you, Mike?
56 under 57.
All of you are, you're spreading out basically to various areas of the Wilshire FBI headquarters. Cassidy, I'm sure you were looking for computer equipment because you wanted to analyze the phones and track data from the victims. I'm sure you were doing the same in preparing like malware or whatever. Levi. Mike,
yeah,
you might
just trying to squeeze a workout in real quick before, yeah.
And you're just moving off this basement floor where you had the meeting, and you just sort of lose Hoffman in the hallways with Adjacent as you're going about your various tasks. But then you see security guards like walking quite briskly past you if you make the alertness roll back the direction you came.
Uh oh.
I'm gonna follow them.
I will follow after Mike.
I'm going to mind my
gun. I'm armed, business. By the way. I drove here. I brought my gun. I have a gun.
That's right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I'll kind of look back at Cassie with sort of a, do you know what's going on here? Look on my face. And then I'll
get blue on blue before we even get to yellow.
If I can get across, I'm following you because you're following them.
Right.
With
right,
a facial expression, I will do
that. Question? Shrug. Okay.
All right. You turn a corner in the basement with these two security guards. One turns around to be like, sir, we're going to need a minute, and like puts his hand up to you, Martinez. As you're looking around the corner, you see down this long hallway of nondescript basement offices, Mace having a really animated discussion with Atchison as she's just sort of nodding with her hands in her coat. And and then you see the other pair of security guards down the hallway appear on that end and start moving that way with one on your side. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I want to sort of call out, Hoffman, come on.
All right.
Save that till later. Come on. We got work to do.
I'll write it up again. But you were there.
Hoffman, come on.
Yeah, I'll come along. I'll nod briskly at the security guards, you know, give them one of these. A little up chin.
Yeah, she lets you go down the hallway. The security officers follow close behind. Atchison goes, Martinez, I need to talk to you.
All right. I'll tell Hoffman to, stick with Cassidy. See, you guys sort yourselves out. And then I'll go over to Atchison.
Mike, what's going wrong with him?
This is the first I've heard anything's wrong with him. If there's something going on, it's recent.
He's hallucinated senatorial candidates that don't exist. He thinks we did a mission that didn't happen. He's raving about time travel. What? Is this news to you?
News to me. You sure he's hallucinating? I mean, this shit, it's fucked up, as they say.
He's not touching what's out there, I'll tell you that much. We're not going to cross-contaminate this kitchen. Whatever the fuck is going on with him, it's going to be the same thing, or it's going to be something else. But either way, we're containing it. He's not leave this building.
I'll go along with that to a certain extent.
We got to debrief him at the very least, and you got to get him in the room if it's going to be quiet.
Yeah. So, like I said, I'm responsible for my team as I see it. So. If you're planning on doing something with Mace against his will, then we're going to have problems.
I get that, Mike, and I don't want it to be against his will. I want you to talk to him. I want you to get him in a chair with someone that I trust to see what the hell he's talking about.
Yeah, okay.
He is not going to want to do that.
So when I was looking at you guys just now, I know Mace. He didn't look like somebody who was making shit up or who was having a psychotic break. He looked upset. To me, that doesn't say hallucinations. That says this may be more serious, but not something that, he needs a solution.
I agree. I like Mace too. Right. I want this to go well, but we're playing at the big leagues here. All right. I do not want him out there pitching that to a director. I don't want him giving a vector of infection an idea. All right. Hold on.
He told all this shit to you. Has he told it to other people?
I don't know. He didn't tell it to you. Who else did he tell it to?
That's my point. I'm just.
I get it. If it's legitimately an issue, we gotta break it down.
Don't jump to conclusions and assume that he's a security risk if he hasn't shown himself to be one.
Okay, but Mike, you've had my job before. If you were in my shoes, he's on the front line.
Yeah, I'll talk to him. We'll figure it out. If he shows signs of that he's cracking, then we'll keep him at a more distant remove.
Okay. Mace, you don't need to roll human. The guards are very keen to have a, you know, look at their phones and stand around you at the elevator lobby with Cassidy. Yeah, as you, Mike and Atchison have a heated conversation around the corner.
I will flip into good boy, completely reliable, not a problem mode.
I'm noncommittal. Let's I'm like, okay. Mace is the problem here. Okay, I'm just going to stand back and watch. I am not going to put my ass out of the line for Mace.
I mean, Mace would be honestly delighted to not have to go out and do the dangerous stuff.
Well, that's interesting.
Oh, God, all I have to do. Yeah. All I have to do is find that sweet spot between so sane that they send you off to die in a gutter, having your soul extruded through the nth dimension, and so crazy that they kill you and bury you in a shallow grave in the Topanga Canyon. And in that middle butter zone, you know, that's, I think I could do my best work there.
Yeah, get locked away in a black site.
All right. Mike, you are there with two other agents you've never met before that seem to have materialized around Atchison. Mm-hmm. And you need to tell Mace to go answer their questions as honestly as possible.
Yeah, all right. Well, I'll kind of give a nod to each of them. Say, all right, let's go talk to our boy. With the deliberate implication, you know, or laying the groundwork for, I'm going to be in that room too. And then turn and, you know, lead the way.
All right. That is what your team is doing. Atchison is going to page Annette Saunders, Cassidy, and Levi to come meet her instantly. Yeah.
Okay.
All right, I'll go. Yeah.
56. 56. Ah, oh, shit.
You're going to have to interrupt your kegels there, Levi.
I will wave to Annette. Yeah, we haven't talked. Hey, yeah. You do it okay?
Yeah, Cassidy meets you at the elevator, Annette.
Mm-hmm. Oh, hi, Cassidy.
Hi. You feeling okay?
Doing great.
Great. I'm glad you're adjusting.
Oh, I'm adjusted.
Is Annette still wearing her tactical librarian outfit?
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Like leather fingerless gloves and a shirt with built-in elbow pads.
Oh, yeah.
Looking badass. Everyone seems a little bit on edge, though. What do you think that's about?
Mace said something that alarmed Atchison, is my take. So,
Mace says a lot of stuff.
Well, he has guards around him, and he's not going with us.
Yikes. I wonder if we're in trouble. I guess we'll find out.
So Atchison shows up. All right, nothing can ever go right around you. I will be with you on this operation momentarily. We are running out of time at the site. We are going to need to get it cleared. So I'm going to need you to help me process the scene while Mike and Mace take care of something.
What?
But you got it.
They're going to be preparing covers for any work we might have to do within the various sides of this conflict.
Can I human that? That seems like bullshit.
Yeah. Seems like a smart thing to do.
I failed that.
Yeah, they're working on your covers for various things you have to do based on the people, but they have to process the scene because they haven't declared it a crime scene yet, and the victims are not declared missing or dead yet. So there is a time limit on... they've been dead for almost over a day now. So, yeah. And so Atchison is like, come on, we're going. Yeah.
Yeah. Let's get out.
Your equipment. We are headed to the van.
Yeah.
And they're going directly to the vehicle pool. All right. Mace, you and Mike and the FBI guys are there. There is a long and tense wait as they wait for someone to come and speak with you. And then you got time to chat in the room with the mirror, wondering who's looking at you on the other side. You know, what do you want
to
talk
about? All right, Mike, I hate to ask this. Have you ever had to deal with time travel?
Sorry, out of character, just for context. Is this Mace saying this when I'm in the room and these two other dudes are in the room and there's a see-through mirror that obviously has a microphone going?
I would probably wait till the other two guys were out.
Yeah, they can leave. They're going to get bored eventually, yeah.
Okay, but we're in the interview room
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Okay. I'll say, no, I haven't. And give Mace a look that, because he knows people well, I think he'll be able to translate as, shut the fuck up. Are you insane?
All right. I will start reconsidering my position on all this. But yeah, when the FBI agent shows up, I'll be like, all right. A weird thing happened to me that I thought Atchison knew about. I thought was an official operation that was remembered on some level. And I didn't tell anyone about it because from day one, y'all have been stressing to me, do not tell anyone about anything. But because in the memories I have, Atchison was present, I needed to find out if she also had bifurcated memories. And I will explain the memory branching and the body team. And Mace is an articulate guy. I will make this sound as sane as possible, and I will explain that I also remember the mainstream current timeline, not the divergent alternate timeline.
Okay.
And here's my ace in the hole. Greg, the dumb game designer, does not remember the names of the agents who were also in body team.
I'll help you out.
But Mace, the con man, the con man salesman, we can assume he's got a good head for names, right?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
So, yeah.
I put him in.
I will.
Yeah.
And I'll talk about the guy. Okay, so, yeah. I will name these names. Who was the guy who was in charge of the murderers?
Oh, Santa.
Santa, yeah.
And yeah, I'll mention Santa.
All right, roll San, Mike.
Is this for helplessness or a natural?
This is definitely helplessness.
That's it's a failure.
It's not me. Okay, I'll call it a 1d3. That's just one. Okay. If you do my role, but yeah, he's just rambling off just insanity, like agents he's met, senators that don't exist. There's a second time, like you've never heard any of this shit before. You've never been briefed on anything like this. It corresponds to nothing you know about the unnatural.
Yeah. Okay.
I don't get any kind of role to be persuasive, huh?
It doesn't matter. Like, either this is actually true and it's, oh shit, or you're losing your goddamn mind and it's, oh shit. Yeah, like, neither's a good thing for Mike in this situation. So, yeah.
I want to very deliberately and abruptly change the course of the interview and start asking Mace totally unrelated things, but things that might matter, you know, or might be stressful. Like, okay, look, just tell us, what was your wife's name again? Was it Carol?
Carla,
my bad. How's she doing? And, you know, yeah.
Well, and I'll tell him about the entity talking to me through Carla and saying that we have been purchased.
And you guys don't have any kids, do you?
No, Mike.
I'm just trying to remember. What's family life like for you two? You know, you have in-laws. You know, what's the?
I'm not sure how this is relevant, buddy.
It is. Just trust me. I'll explain the ins and outs of it later, but you know, for now.
Okay. Yeah, my brother lives in the same town, so I see him fairly often.
You get along all right?
You know how brothers are.
Yeah. How's it been between you lately? Has it been any big problems? Stresses?
I mean, the older you get, you tend to grow apart. But it's been okay. It's good enough.
What are your neighbors like?
Fine. I mean, we're thinking of moving, which will be, you know, it'll be tough. We got some people we've gotten close to, but really, I'd like to get a. Oh wait, no, Mace had moved. Can I retcon?
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah, the people in the gated community are like you'd expect. You know, a little shallow, but okay. You know, when they throw a steak on the grill, it's a good steak. Can't complain about that.
You have problems with any of them?
No. No, everyone keeps to themselves, and, you know, the worst thing that happens in that neighborhood is someone's dog shits on someone else's lawn and it doesn't get scooped. That's like a crisis.
Yeah. Must be nice, I guess.
I mean, if I've learned anything from this stuff, it's that you got to enjoy life while you can, and there's not much point in saving up for retirement now, is there?
So I want to look at the other. Is there one investigator in here with us, did you say?
Oh, they went outside. They're waiting for someone to arrive to talk to you.
Oh,
I thought we waited another. Until the other.
No, yeah, they both let you. Probably. They let you stay in the interview room by yourselves, but like you don't know who's on the other side of the mirror. Yeah.
I had meant to wait till the interrogator arrived, but okay.
Yeah, and me too. That was part of my whole reason for pursuing this whole line of questions.
Oh, don't worry. It was definitely recorded.
For the sake of an audience.
No, don't worry. All of this was known. Yeah. Right. They did all not right. just let you chat in there for funsies.
All right.
That's why they brought you to the special mirror. Yeah.
Yeah. I think I'm going to want to try to just transition to, you know, small talk at this point, like, mm-hmm. you know, you follow baseball, you follow whatever, any particular sports or.
Oh God, the Marlins suck this season. It's like masochism. I watch the game. I'm like, maybe this is the one where they turn it around, and then they do not turn
They're not
it around.
Gonna turn that around, Mace. Come on.
All right. We'll get back to that. Meanwhile, who's driving the surveillance van suddenly retasked as Atchison angrily types an email in the passenger seat and two of you are in the back? So
I'm at Bayes.
Oh, so am I. Annette, do you have any driving?
No.
Okay.
You can get there. It's just
yeah, I'll
who
drive.
Has to
I'll
talk
drive.
To Atchison okay. and who gets to talk to someone who's not furious. Yeah. All right, you're driving, Cassidy.
Mm-hmm.
All right, Levi, Annette, you're in the back seat of this hot ass surveillance van, you know, trying to creep down the 405 on the way to an Bellamy prop warehouse.
I can actually get that up real quick on Google Earth. You arrive, Annette. If you don't initiate conversation, Atchison is going to angrily type emails the entire time you are driving. Are you okay with that?
Atchison, you seem kind of stressed. You should consider a vacation.
Yeah, Saunders, I'm not really at that level of this anymore.
No, come on. You know, maybe like a staycation. You know, maybe, you know, just go get yourself a bottle of wine, maybe a case of wine, take a couple days off, you know. Bubble bath.
I like shooting. Taking my mind off things. You're getting better, by the way.
Yeah, I appreciate that. I've been practicing.
Roll sand in it.
What?
You're not adapted to helplessness yet.
No, that is one thing I am adapted to, is helplessness.
Yeah, well, you make it. Yeah, she knows. She's been watching you. Like, she could probably, you know, look at your silhouettes that you're throwing away.
Oh, I know the score now. I'm aware that my life is no longer mine.
Yeah.
Just like
this is one of Levi's special interests. So he's going to brighten up and start talking to Annette about guns and shooting. And
little window opens like, up in the van. Hey, guns, you say? Yeah,
guns.
Yeah. how to integrate gun use into close quarters combat? How to avoid being disarmed? Blah blah blah.
See, you know, the thing is, Atchison, you know, we never truly had free will to begin with, and it's best to just kind of learn how to, you know, operate within that reality and try to have as good of a time as you can. And you just seem really stressed.
You could say I am, Annette. I'm a little stressed. All right. You pull into that warehouse parking lot where you see two L.A. Sheriff's Department cars, you know, crossed so the drivers could talk, and they're, you know, sort of posted up in the shade underneath the truck dock to the Bellamy prop warehouse. You know, Atchison gets out and, you know, leans down and talks to one of the cars. And then, you know, it sort of whoop and heads on out while one stays. And then she gestures for you all to get out and go through the door.
I do. Yep.
That's Sergeant Sains. He was first on the scene. These gentlemen were kind enough to secure this area for us once we got the call. Thank you for doing so, Sergeant Sains. For this, I appreciate your flexibility in this matter of national security. If you could just ensure that we are not disturbed while my specialists do their work. And answer any questions they need, that would be excellent. And Sains just sort of leans against his car and, you know, sure thing. Yeah, and, you know, he's on the clock. He doesn't give a shit. He's just hanging out in the parking lot. So Atchison is giving you the scene. All right. Yeah, they tracked this place down based on the video that they didn't want to allow you to see, that they transcripted for you. The man talking about the play.
So I failed my human check to see if the sergeant looked, you know, any out of sorts, like he had seen or done something. So I tried, oh yeah, I'm sure he's fine.
I did not fail that check.
On the sergeant?
Yeah.
He does not appear curious. He seems sort of professionally uncurious about certain things. He seems kind of like practiced and trained in being uncurious about.
Yeah, I'll pass that along. I don't think he's been inside. He's having a very normal day.
Okay. Can I make a computer science check to basically have something on my phone? That I can like take a photo of something, OCR it, and then run it through like a private version, like my own private, you know, version of an AI chat thing to summarize it for me.
Yeah, real comp sci. Yeah, image scraper.
Yeah, but also not hooked up to anything in the cloud. Like, it's running on its own instance, on its own private server somewhere.
Of what use were all those billions of can you recognize a stop signs if not for this? Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like, so it can't contaminate anything else. Like,
right. Did you make it?
Yeah, I did. I critically succeed, actually, with the
55. Whoa, that's pretty good.
Yeah. All right. So I will mention, if there's any documents or anything, I have a thing that'll let me get a summary of it without actually us having to read it. I think the text of this play is dangerous.
Yes, you're getting ready to do that, and you're looking up the stairs, and then you hear, you know, Sane's behind you and go, any of you labbies got anything for your noses?
Oh,
Mugs, Bengay, anything?
Oh yeah, it's been a day, hasn't it?
Yeah, there's no AC in there, sister. He tosses you one. Yeah.
Okay, I take it.
Good luck. Then.
Yeah, appreciate it. Yeah, let's get this done.
Mm-hmm.
All right, roll sand if you're not adapted to violence.
I am not adapted to violence yet.
That sure is.
I make it.
Fail.
If you fail, you're going to lose one.
And that's a breaking point.
All right, yeah, we'll just get to it. Ruminate on what you want to be permanently affected by.
Delicious.
Anyway, what Annette sees, you see that there's a bunch of straw strewn about this, you know, dusty ancient prop warehouse. It's reminiscent of the scene from that Jean-Claude Van Damme movie where they have the fight in the old storage unit of the Mardi Gras parades. It's just a bunch of gibberish props and facades stacked on top of each other, on top of each other, on top of each other. In this archaic ancient filing system, some of them have physical paper tags hanging off of them with years and dates. But as you go through this sort of warehouse, it's arranged along the side of a road. So it could get to the truck bays. It's basically just a long corridor with shelves recessed for the various things. In one of the little alcoves, you see that there has been a card table splayed out, where there's a lot of straw and discarded packing peanuts and wood on the ground. There is an elderly man at a laptop that has been smashed, that has a 38 on the floor next to him and a hole in his head where he put it in his mouth. And then you see against the shelves, a man in a yellow robe with a mask and a crown on it that is on his, well, kind of half on his knees hanging from where he has been impaled through the eyes on two extruded, from the plastic handles, you're guessing steak knives. That he put into the slats of the shelving units for the props and appears to have headbutted at the climax of the video. The knives and the steel has bent under his weight, and he's kind of half sliding off in the heat. The main thing keeping him upright is the mask and helmet of it. And it doesn't smell good at all.
I'm going to look at the laptop and pat their pockets after putting gloves on, of course, to see if they have phones or keys or wallets or anything like that.
Sure. Before I get into any like detailed computer stuff, I'm just going to look around and see if there's anything that's not immediately apparent. Like if before they died, they hid something or like scratched a secret message underneath a table or some shit.
Yeah, you could roll search.
That's the idea. Big failure there.
Okay. You don't...
Too stinky to think.
You notice stuff. So, for instance, the door isn't broken in. Like, there's no pick lock. There's no pry bar. You don't see any bolt cutters. Nothing. There's no windows closed. They came in with a key. Mm-hmm. And you're it doesn't appear to have been a break-in. And you're not sure like anything was stolen. You don't see bags or any attempts for that. And also like the camera equipment's obviously not from here. It's a relatively new setup. They brought it along with them, along with the laptop.
Okay.
So you don't get nothing. You just
disappear. So they came here specifically to do that, and they had access to the building somehow.
What is the camera like? Consumer stuff, or is this like professional? Is it like a? Is it like a little? Yeah. If it's,
it appears to be consumer stuff.
Okay.
It also appears to be brand new.
Brand new. Okay.
Like out of the box. In fact, you think you like you see the packing peanuts on the ground. Mm-hmm. Along with like the straw of the old like props and shit that they unearthed, and you're like, oh no, they unpacked the camera to do this.
The little viewfinder still has that plastic film over it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Is the hard drive of the laptop intact, or is it just
Yeah, so on the table, aside from blood, it appears Sains has done a little preparation of the scene. You do find a little organized cubby with the cell phones of both victims, wallets laid out. They did, in fact, identify the victims before they called you in. That's why they called you in, because they realized they were on opposite sides of an internationally covered labor dispute. And that made them go for the lighter touch, or what Atchison thought was the lighter touch before she talked to Mace. Yeah, that appears to be as far as they've processed it. Atchison did say there was a team here before you. According to her, Sains was sent here as a friendly to secure the scene. The second they identified the TOS violation and got it pulled off YouTube, and they, you know, played CIA GeoGuessr and figured out exactly where that video was filmed. And then they had the sheriff's department asset and theater go make sure, you know, it was closed down and nobody else found it. So they've had the sheriff sitting on it for the better part of a day and a half. You know, the first agents arrived. They processed the stuff. It appears, you know, who destroyed the laptop, and it wasn't the victims. There's no gunfire. It wasn't done with a gun. It appears to have been. And the hard drive of that is removed. As Atchison said, they don't want you knowing anything more about the video than what you got in the transcript. But, you know, they want to figure out why are these two guys? Why are they here? What were they doing? What inspired this to happen? Yeah.
Oh, do we have access to the entire building or just this warehouse part?
You have access to the entire building.
All right. One of us should go.
Annette, what are you doing?
Yeah.
So give me, just tell me again, what's in this room with us?
It is a bunch of ancient movie props, stored for like historical and reuse purposes and rented out to various productions, in one alcove, like a little like square set off area where you would offload a truck that backed into the bay, along the shelves, a man dressed in like some sort of bizarre flaking, mask has jabbed his eyes out into the brain with two steak knives propped against the shelving units. And then the other man behind a camera sitting at a card table, who appears to have been elderly, has blown his head off with a .38 revolver.
Okay. I guess, I don't know. I have forensic. I don't know. You can
see like what props were disturbed.
I'm
find the offices. Yeah,
so I have a forensics of 40. So I was gonna think about just looking around for things that may, I don't know, be considered, I don't know, related to a vector or related to the problem, like what we're dealing with right now. Something. Aside from, like, the obvious double, you know, homicide or suicide here that's taken place, something that may be problematic, something that we need, what would be under our, you know, purview.
All right. You don't need to roll forensics. It's pretty clear that they were tearing through, like, boxes and crates in one specific area. But they opened them, saw it wasn't what they wanted, and went to something else. The one box that's emptied is still labeled, and it says Guthrie 1957. You could roll history.
And do that, yeah. A 44 out of 80.
Ooh.
You knew this. Your weird English teacher in high school made you watch this version. This is the 1957 version of Oedipus Rex, directed by Tyrone Guthrie, famously consulted on by none other than W.B. Yeats in the script process. It was done in traditional Greek theater. Meaning everyone wore masks. There's a picture of one in the Insolent Impulse chat. The King Oedipus.
Mm-hmm.
He had the Isaiah Annas, the younger victim, is wearing that and apparently delivered his little spiel in the video while wearing that before stabbing his eyes out. But from what you can gather from that, it was labeled in here, so like it wasn't owned by a collector. So they broke in specifically to get that before they did this.
Okay. So it's just props from that movie that they were messing with?
Yes.
I'll note that movie down for later.
We should take that stuff with us.
Yeah, I'm also going to get a closer look. Closer look at the mask that the person has on.
It's pretty damaged by age. It was pretty carefully preserved as best they could, but it was basically a 1957 clay lacquer and paper mache job. Very decayed, gone white with age. The yellow paint is. Only really determined in little flakes because it kind of matches the old robes he's wearing.
Nothing.
And otherwise just filled with blood.
Okay.
Pouring down the eyes and throat.
Yeah. Nothing inscribed on it or anything. It's just a mask.
You'd have to move the body to get inside of it.
Do we have permission to do that?
Atchison is not going to process the scene.
Okay.
In a way that is.
Then, with a forensics of 40, do I need to roll or should I be able to?
That would be good to roll.
Okay.
We'll go ahead and take some pictures before we move anything.
26 out of 40.
Good job. All right. You take enough pictures. You extract the body from the bent steak knives that were propping it up. And you manage to get it laid down and with its helmet on the ground. And with your success, you do so without touching anything. So the prints on the steak knives are intact. And you've gotten the body out. Yeah. So good job. The prints could be scanned at Wilshire since you've bagged those. Even if you don't have a fingerprinting kit in the van.
I'm going to look for the office, any sort of like office computer thing, and look for links between Bellamy and the two Vicks.
Do comp sci. All right.
Can I assist with that since we're both here?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Success. I think that
47 out of 80, so yes. Or 80 something. It's high. It's a big number.
There are no cameras inside the warehouse except what was brought with the two. But they do have cameras in the parking lot. Apparently there were some vandalism issues on the doors. And with your comp sci, you managed to get into the system, and you can scrape back to when they both arrived.
Okay.
Roll San.
Cool. I do not make that.
I make it.
Lose one.
Is this unnatural or violence? Or?
Yeah, it's unnatural. Okay. So he pulls in, Isaiah Annas, the young one pulls in, starts trying the door and seems to despair pretty badly. It is 2:30 a.m. It is the dead of night in a warehouse district in L.A., and he is just bashing at the door desperately. He sort of walks around a little bit, and then he's sort of using the stage dock of the truck as like a stage. And you can tell he's got like a literal piece of paper in his hand. He's like rehearsing his lines, and he just looks desperate. You see he gets out a bottle from the car and starts drinking. And then a very nice car pulls in, the one that's still in the parking lot. And you see an old man get out and look up at him on the loading dock. And they embrace like a son that had thought his father was dead and saw him come back from the grave. Like it is a terrified, uncomprehending recognition. But they embrace, like they hold each other's faces and appear to be crying. They are so overjoyed. There is roughly like 15 to 20 minutes of like exuberant talking in the parking lot. The old guy seems more sprightly. And then he brings out a keychain, which, the young man seems overjoyed and like jumps up in the air. Of course you have it. And then they unlock the door and the video ends.
That was weird.
So with your look at that, these guys, you don't think they'd met before that moment. Like, you think they just showed up here. You don't know how they coordinated this. Like, you're not, if they did it online, that's fine. But like, the dude out front looked like he was going to despair and drink himself into insensibility outside the door of this unlabeled prop warehouse until this old man showed up and then just rejoicing like a class reunion.
Cassidy.
Yeah.
Did that look like they were getting pulled into a role to you?
I think they already were in roles. They just thought they were alone. Maybe until they found each other.
These are artificial feelings.
They were affected by this thing, whatever it is, separately, and it coordinated for them. So the vector is doing it, I think.
I think you might be right.
So the old man is the one who had the keys to the warehouse. So if we have both their cell phones, but I bet we could trace their movements, and they never physically met. As long as the cell phones have records,
That's a thing to confirm.
Yeah, we need to find out what they have in common. Then, so that's any link they have between them, if they were at the same theater, you know, or if they were the same place but at different times, like if they knew anybody, if they had a link in common, right, that would be something to look at. But
all right, so bureaucracy gets you their addresses, no roll. If you make a roll, you get more. Same thing with accounting.
I have accounting if you want to do bureaucracy.
Okay, I am unsuccessful.
Well, so am I.
Okay. Yeah. Well, the accounting is the Bellamy Prop Warehouse is owned by Low End LLC. And bureaucracy, you have the address for Norman Caslow and near Tuna Canyon in North LA. And you've also got Isaiah Annis's address, which
was was he a writer or an actor?
Annis had 3 seasons of script credits on Harlequin Town.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. Yeah.
Do any of you have Humint? Annette, you could roll Humint on that.
I spent most of my time in library stacks. I have 0 Humint.
I have Humint.
I'm successful on that.
I want to ask how Levi knows this. Did Levi watch the reality show Harlequin Town? Or does Levi say a reality show with a writer with three seasons? That seems odd. Like, how does he figure that out?
I think a boy that he messed around with in college liked it a lot, and he just went along with it.
Nice. Well, obviously, that makes perfectly sense for Harlequin Town. So Harlequin Town was a dating battle royale show.
Holy shit.
Where they basically had, like, you know, 20 drunk hot people in a facade town. But a certain number of them were professional comedians performing elaborate pranks instead of having dates. So, like, some people were earnestly trying to find love, whereas other people were being cringe nightmare dates on purpose. And it all was all, like, camera shit.
Christ, somewhere Spencer just bolted awake.
Yeah. But the thing about Harlequin Town, you remember from that boy, because he got really into the meta of it, mm-hmm. is that one of the producers got in trouble because they were actually using the writing credits, you know, which you usually have, like, punch-up, you know, language for, like, getting voted out scenes and the game show parts, was actually being paid to do that and paying that to a girlfriend rather than anybody he was actually, you know, using to write the show. And it was a big, like, variety thing. So, like, what you realize with your human role is, like, this guy's in the WGA with three seasons writing on a reality show that rumor has it was just an elaborate scheme to pay the producer's girlfriend. Like, that seems like a flimsy way to get your union card.
Yeah.
If you were, you know, off the top of your head.
Yes. I will explain that it is very weird that the union let this guy in based on this.
Okay. So he didn't write, but he had leverage over the producer for Harlequin Town. Maybe that's our link. Maybe the Harlequin Town, Norman Caslow is a producer, right? Mm. He had some sort of tie to Harlequin Town. This guy, yeah, we'll have to look into it. Okay. Do they have, like, a computer here for office admin shit? Like bills and that kind of thing?
No, it does not appear to be. So okay. You can plug into the hard drive. Thankfully, it's not a film camera. But yeah. it is a pretty low tech operation, considering.
So they just have a surveillance system. They don't do their paperwork here.
No. There's not much paperwork. Bellamy does not appear very popular, considering they're holding props from a 1957 production of a Yates play.
Okay.
Not exactly being called to the front line of the Marvel set.
So it doesn't look like they're in operation, really. Like,
yeah, no, it's a dead Hollywood ruin. Yeah.
Okay. So that's why the old guy had the key. Okay. Are there any other rooms in this place that we haven't checked out yet?
No, it's a big long corridor with a stairway up to the office that you found everything else in.
Okay. I'll do a search of the warehouse too, just in case anyone else knows something. And I make that with a 13.
You found it all, yeah. Okay. Which is disconcerting, yeah.
You want to rip apart the phones next?
We can do that offsite. I don't want to do it here with the bodies.
Yeah, that's fair.
So we should take the masks and, well, Atchison has a plan for dealing with this shit, it sounds like. Is Atchison just outside?
Yes.
Okay, I will go. I'll delete the footage from the security camera, obviously.
Yeah, Atchison notably did not go inside.
Yeah.
Rather pointedly did not go up those steps and go inside.
All right. I will go outside. We swept it. We found some things. Are we the ones dealing with the bodies, or do you have a plan?
You have everything you need?
We have everything we need.
Okay. Just stack up in the van.
Okay. I'll go back and get the others.
All right. Let's hit it.
Yeah. You guys can roll alertness as you're getting into the van.
Nope.
Success.
Levi, you see Atchison just hand a brick of money to this sheriff's deputy and just sort of nod and get in the van, and you guys pull out and start heading back to Wilshire. Yeah.
Okay.
That's what turns the wheel, baby.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, so when the two men come back in, and they have an iPad that is doing a Zoom call, and oddly enough, Mike and Mace, they are muted, and they don't appear to have their camera on. But the two gentlemen that escorted you to this room start asking pointed questions. Mace, you are given heart by Atchison's active listening skills, an ability to quickly recall information in order. And you know, what can you tell me about this Gary Carroll character? How often have you been feeling this way? Now, when you remember these things, so rather than go through the entire effects of body team, could we get a gist? Are you doing the same thing you did with Mike? Mike, did you coach him to say something different? How are you both approaching this situation?
So I didn't coach him because we got cameras on us. And
yeah, exactly. But like you were talking about the Marlins and calming him down. Yeah. You could probably communicate with Mace in a way that they would not instantly peg, since you guys have had some.
Well, okay. So what I would like to communicate kind of just by body language and eye contact and that kind of thing is keep it calm and keep it simple. So to whatever, I don't know if you want Mace to make a roll to sort of pick up on that accurately, or if you figure
that would... Mace, what's your human at, like 80?
Yes, it's 80.
Yeah, you don't have to roll for that. Yeah, you're pretty good at reading, Mike. You can pick up on that as much as you want to. So,
all right. Well, I will be I will project complete sane competence. And that, you know, I understand why they have to be, take care with this, but that this absolutely happened. And that I don't know what it means if they do not recognize the names Annalise Gatlin, Harold Seiler, Dedrick Peppers, or Terry Stout. But that... I want to convey to them that I am being the good soldier who does what he's told by telling them about this, even at cost to myself. That, right. You know.
Are you telling them about Carla? And it talking through her voice?
They don't need to know that shit.
All right, roll persuade.
Here we go. Here we go now. That is a 27 out of 70.
Okay, it'll just be a power times 5 check, and then we'll see how much willpower this costs as an experience.
All right. Ooh, that's a fail.
Okay, how about you, Mike? Are you staying in the room the whole time?
Yeah. I'm going to be there. Yeah.
As his advocate, you get to roll it too. Power times 5.
Power times 5. All right. That's a success. 46 out of 70.
All right. Onyx success. You just lose a 1d3. So lose a 1, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
On a failure, you lose a d6. Lose 6 willpower, Mace, as you get to go over body team. And then the events you remember in parallel to the adventure of Body Team that seem like they actually happened for everyone but you. And then you get to remember them forwards and backwards and parallel. And in now start at the middle. Now go over it. Like it is. Yeah, it is a police interrogation. Yeah, they are
now in pig Latin.
Yeah. Mike, as this goes on, you're becoming increasingly convinced as a person that has studied interrogation techniques that Mace is not bullshitting with any part of this.
Yeah.
Which is, you've decided he's not lying. So.
Yeah. I was leaning that direction, for a while now. And, yeah.
I mean, Mace by nature tends to be something of a pleaser. So, yeah, why would he make this up? What does it gain him? And, I mean, the answer is he's out of the field, but...
I mean, if it comes up, I'd be happy, you know, Mike will be happy to kind of remind people that when he interviewed Mace just one-on-one, he took him through a whole range of emotional reactions, and his responses didn't go bonkers. You know, he didn't get tripped up and triggered into some paranoid nonsense. So,
which most Marlins fans would have been.
Okay. So it is a long night. You do not see the crew again. They are kept to the other parts of building. You are given a room to sleep in that night because it is well into the early morning by the time they let you get some rest. But it has a nice bed and a TV. Mike, you are allowed to go wherever you wish. But, you know, Mace needs to stay on the premises for observation. He is not under arrest, but they are very concerned about lingering effects of the event he went through.
So what became of that, of Annette's cell phone that was the cause of so much angst last time?
That is still with Annette. And Atchison told you to get it before Mace then blindsided her with another dangerous, unnatural issue.
What was the deal with Annette's cell phone? Remind me again.
Annette got a very strange call from a person that doesn't appear to have, should have had a phone. Yeah. So meanwhile, driving back, Atchison asks if they can see your phone, Annette.
I don't respond because I am busy handling the mask that's in a evidence bag. I'm just kind of turning it over my hand in my hands.
Driving back. Okay, yeah.
Very lost in thought.
Saunders, can you hear me?
Hmm.
Saunders, can you give the phone to Levi? You said we needed to look into that, right?
Yeah, it's in my bag. It's over there.
I'll get it.
Point to the floor.
All right, Levi, you can roll comp sci.
81 of 81.
Oh my God.
If someone was trying to oppose me, they'd be fucked.
It is a cell phone from a nurse. She works at a Maryland mental institution. Her name is Celine Walker.
Interesting.
Privately run organization, private equity owned mental health group. It is attached to a Maryland hospital.
Yeah, perfect thing to privatize.
Been operation since 2014. Yeah.
I'll pass that along.
Yeah, that is the call you got that left the voicemail, Annette.
I do not appear to even notice what's going on in the car around me at the moment. I am focused on this mask.
All right, Cassidy, you got that humid on you?
Mm-hmm.
You're driving?
Yeah.
It's a little hard in the peripheral and you're in L.A. traffic.
Oh, I make that. Yeah.
Yeah, you hear Atchison pretending not to listen to what Levi's saying to Annette, pretending not to have just typed it into something.
Right.
And the pretending not to close that laptop real fast once that page opens up. And she's just putting her head in her hands because she's tired. Yeah. It's just been a long day. Yeah. So you pull back into Wilshire. So Mike, you can, if you want to stay up and not get a hotel, you can be there at 2 a.m. or so when they get back from processing the scene.
I think I'm gonna spend the evening with Mace, to ostensibly to go over footage of some of our marks, you know, actors and writers and whatever, so I can start being ready to pretend to be one tomorrow if necessary. But also to be around because I'm a little paranoid, and also to be able to answer questions if Mace has another weird freak out or something.
Yeah, you have computer access as long as it's supervised. They don't say that, but you have internet access, so you can work on the case in there. You have two names for the two people, so like history or anthropology would work. I'll give you like basic information, but if you had roles on those,
no, I don't have those skills. No.
Oh, okay.
Mace has the base history of 10%.
Ah, okay, that's fine. I would also accept an art role of some kind if you had those.
Document forgery.
Document forgery is fine. Yeah, that's aesthetics sometimes. I'll give you that at a moment.
It's a failure. He's so tired after being fucking grilled. Yeah,
it's not a great. And you don't want to be investigated while you're investigating.
No, I mean, the closest I have, it sounds like, would be probably a cult.
Yeah, that's not apply. So
yeah, what no one asks is how the Watchmen feel when they are watched.
Like, boy, this sucks. If he was doing this to people this entire time? Oh my God.
So inconvenient, yeah.
Mike, are we all bastards?
So Isaiah Annis, like Levi discovered, has three seasons at Harlequin Town, and is a relatively new writer. Those are his only credits on IMDb for that television show. Norman Caslow has a long and storied career that terminated like the arc of a falling rocket into DTV and the death of Family Video Stores. So he hasn't done anything since like 2012, and by then it was pretty sad. Before then, a long list of producing credits. Deers with Black Hair, Angels and Guests, Back to School Bat Mitzvah, Wrong About My Wife, Moon Doctor, Moon Doctor 2, Reentry, Moon Doctor 3, The Return, Moon Doctor, Redux. It goes on and on and on, yeah.
All of these suck ass, right?
Oh, Moon Doctor Redux was pretty good. It was. I'll defend Moon Doctor Redux.
Truth About My Wife.
It's a cult thing. Kind of a little outsider art compared to the other ones.
Caleb, if Dead Channels does not have on a merch store that has a Moon Doctor shirt, I will never talk to you again.
I will have to see.
I would love to see a medical procedure on the moon, but.
So, do we already have background checks on these guys?
I mean, that's what we're doing now, I thought.
Yes. Isaiah Annis, that would be a role. That would be criminology or bureaucracy to get it. Law?
Oh, no. It's an 89, which is not going to succeed.
Would law be applicable or just bureaucracy?
I would accept law.
Okay, I'll give it a shot. Why not? Yeah. 26 under 60.
And you have the same information. All right, we'll jump across. So, Mike, you're looking. You find that Isaiah Annis, he actually had a records request put in recently to federal records from the LAPD by an officer that was working under the request of an FBI agent, Malika Craden. Who you actually recognize from your undercover training, a fellow undercover agent. So about a month ago, Isaiah Annis had a records request put in local police departments that came up with nothing. And that was put in by a FBI undercover agent you're familiar with.
So she was asking for information about him?
About Isaiah Annis, yes.
Okay, and they said they didn't have anything on him?
They said they didn't have anything. With your success, Levi, they really tried to scrub it from the records as best they could, but you did find the charge dismissal in a Delaware court against a Isaac Annis. For fraud in 2019 related to a cryptocurrency scheme. So he apparently rug pulled the wrong state congressperson's grandson and then actually got some enforcement on his ass. And he was apparently not too careful about it. But the charges were dropped.
Hmm.
Does it say why? Insufficient evidence or anything?
Oh, yeah, insufficient evidence.
Okay.
You said Isaac Annis? Was this just like a pseudonym?
It appears so, yes.
Okay.
The pictures look pretty similar.
Not a relative, no record of him having a twin or something. Yeah. Okay. Right.
At that point, he is not listed as a writer. He is listed as an entrepreneur on his websites that you found on archive.org. And one of the seasons of Harlequin Town he is credited for is the year before he is arrested for the crypto scam. So
was that the last year?
It doesn't appear he has. Yeah, it doesn't appear he's had a recent artistic awakening.
Okay.
Okay.
You know, these crypto grifters are making it hard for legitimate entrepreneurs like Mace.
Yeah.
Okay. Well,
so much potential in that space.
Is Agent Creighton in? So she's based in Los Angeles.
It appears so. Yeah.
Ooh. Well, we can talk to her. I look at Mike for that.
All right. Are you guys staying up to work all night, or are you getting a hotel?
Yeah, I'm going.
I'm talking to the people who are allowed to leave.
Oh man, I'm real sleepy. I should get some shut eye.
I'll get a hotel room.
Yeah, me too. It's important to get your 8 hours when you can. You never know when you can't.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely. All right, where do you meet that night, Cassidy? Are you doing the ritual? Or
oh, yeah,
you just take
of course.
A nice rest?
No. I need some advice, Coach. So we are going to meet at the farm that the... where we saw something that shouldn't exist and blew it away with shotguns and frozen in time. There's just other figures holding weapons, their muzzle flash lighting up, obscuring the thing.
Oh shit, is Levi in the back of the truck just like falling down full autoing?
Mm-hmm.
When you wake up, that's what it feels like, Nillet. When you finally wake up, it's to the hand of Levi slapping your face as you've been pulled out of the truck, frothing with your inexpert panic dosage of benzodiazepine and sloth agonists in the back of the cab. And as you turn your head back to see, you know, where he was standing over you, he's not there anymore. And it's a Klixvin, their hand down to pick you up from the earth. And you're just on a hill of a idyllic moonlit night on an Oklahoma field lit by a burning truck. You don't see Mike and you don't see Levi anywhere. And it's just a fog is rolling in. Yeah.
I don't remember the fog, but I wasn't paying attention, I guess.
It's shallow here. Memories always are. They don't accrete like the deeper dreams.
We saw, I don't know if I should describe it to you, but...
You would not be here if you had seen the play.
Ah. I'd seen, I think, aftermath of it.
It is quite terrible.
They didn't even meet, it seems like, before they went to the same place at the same time and embraced as if long-lost family.
All things meet when they start in the same place.
So do we have to find the starting place? Is that how to burn it out?
You are closer than any of those fools you work with.
Hey, no.
One of those fools seems to have encountered something else. And they spoke wrongly.
Cannot be trusted.
No, I guess not.
You are in danger. I would hate to see you hurt. We would hate to see you hurt. We must teach you how to care for yourself. And to do that, you must navigate the mists of dream without us.
Okay.
That shall be the lesson. But Nilit,
has, in her courtesy, asked us to consult you about which course you wish to take. Do you wish the advanced course to the heart of the truth? Or would you prefer a slower navigation?
I mean, a slower sounds safer, but I don't know if I would have time to master it if I'm so close.
That was her thought as well.
Yeah.
So it has been long since half of me was there. When the others talk of their dreams, where do they accrete? Where is the one that all have? Tell it to me. The common dream. The base one.
So this would be like the thing that gives everyone nightmares out of character?
It's a dream that everybody has. Like, naked at school. Falling.
Okay.
You know, late to something. Clixvin isn't really up on...
Yeah.
What goes on up there in terms of common anxieties. Cassidy's got a better bead for that.
Falling, I think. I know I've been woken... I don't know. Anyone hasn't been woken up by a dream of falling over.
Okay. Trust me. All right.
I do.
And Clixvin turns around, and the wall of mist is like right up to you.
I'm trying very hard not to panic. Trying hard to slow my heart down so I can be awake and alert and not do something mindlessly.
It whispers in your ear and, you know, puts a muscle arm over your shoulder and goes, "Remember when your father taught you how to swim? Roll sand."
Cool. Hey, I make that with an 8. Yay.
All right. You're just going to lose 1d6, but cool. You get it in unnatural.
Awesome.
Gain 3 points. So you are pushed through and you feel like you're walking through just the thickest fog. You can feel the dew bead against your skin. And then you hear the screams. And as you turn to see where they're coming from, the ground is no longer there and the mist is no longer there and you are falling, but you are not falling alone. You are falling with thousands of others all around you in cones of different sky, some at night, some in rays of light, some streaking past buildings. They don't fall in one direction. Some fall up, some fall sideways. You see them bending down corridors in perfect focus, landscapes that go on forever and ever. Buildings that bifurcate into hallways, that separate into lawns of grass, that narrow down into jungles, and everyone's screaming and falling all at the same time. And you are joining them towards what appears to be just a black event horizon. Screaming, and you hear a voice, "You must learn to navigate the mist. They are the interstice. It is your only escape." So you need to roll POW times 5. Like, you need to make it. You are hurtling down. Yeah.
I have that at a lot higher than my current sand for some reason. I make that. I rolled a 40 something out of 70.
All right. Cassidy, where is safety? Where is not here?
Let's see. Probably, I would imagine it'd be like a nice, like wooden, like mansion on a hilltop, like on the side of the mountain, with overlooking everything, and, like a waterfall behind it. It just has everything I need. No one can approach me without me seeing it. Like a place we spent on a weekend once from a distant cousin that was rich, and I didn't remember that well, but it left an impression.
As you're screaming and thinking of that place, you hit one of the drifting clouds through the pelting hail of people. And then you are in a cool bath. And as you shoot your head above the water, you are in a pool above that waterfall, you know, sucking breath to your dyed black teeth. And Clixvid is there sitting on a rock, staring up at just an you ever read Blame?
Mm-hmm.
Like megastructure endlessly off into the distance, spreading in every place. You can swim.
I just got to do that laughter of nervous energy. Just, you know, I made it. I'm alive. I'm not. I didn't go into the event horizon. And then I kind of swim up next to him after the adrenaline kind of starts to wear off.
Yeah, it pulls you up and like seats you between its legs. And suddenly there's a blanket around your shoulders and it's craning your neck upward to look at it. This is a pour of dream. There are layers to it. Where I am from, it is deep, accreted, or concrete, well-trod. But on top of it, well, you know what happens when you can't swim, and it just points upward. You drown. People can drown in distance. They can drown in time. And that happens to those who do not know how to walk the mists. And then you wake up.
Feeling pretty good, actually.
All right, Cassidy, you can now travel the mists. If you are asleep and you have used the Inhabit Dream Flesh ritual, you can go to a different dream. You just got to make a POW times 5 check. If you don't, you get lost, which is
bad.
A problem. But you're better at it than if you'd taken the remedial course. So. Hey, everybody. Thanks for listening. I appreciate you hanging in for Blacklist Part 2. I did not anticipate Greg's newfound interest in full disclosure or deep confession to Atchison, so this game went a little long, as in over 4.5 hours, so I will get the other half of it to you next month, first thing. So until then, thanks for listening to the continued adventures of Working Group Double I. Things are going great. I'm sure nothing's going to go wrong with anybody's plan on how to deal with this newfound threat. And we will catch you all on the flip. Thanks again for listening to Dead Channels.